I should go back in here so I can get the echo.
Welcome to the DD&D podcast.
DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com.
The April 15th edition.
Yay for the retarded kids.
Some guy wants to start a national This Day Really Sucks Day.
This really sucks day.
Supposedly, this is the day that President Lincoln was assassinated. Of course, IRS day for a lot of poor souls. And I forget what else they said. Oh, well. So listen to your own radio if you want to know what they said.
Oh, yes. This is CEG Day, Criminal Element of Government Day.
Yes. Yep. Okay.
No. This is CEGD Day.
CEGD Day?
D-Day. Doomsday.
All right.
Our due date. Due date. But it's
and
also kind of a doomsday. You could afford to have a baby with all the money they're stealing from us.
Yep. Somehow I got to encourage you folks to get in with our new puppies. We have new puppies. They are
new Pisces puppies.
Yeah.
They're Pisces puppies. Yeah, they got Sun in Pisces, Mercury in Pisces, Venus in Aries, Mars in Taurus on Aries cusp, and Moon in Leo, which means they're going to need a lot of attention, and they're going to be emotional. But because their Mars is in Taurus, they will be work dogs.
All right. All I have to do is get them to be bonded with the goats first.
Yep.
Which is hard to do because it's nice warm nights and the goats just don't want to go in any place. They want to be out in the open. So,
well,
matter of fact,
the puppies
I'm having
are
more difficulty getting them to go back into the cave, into the yard. It's a half an acre and I can't get them to get into it sometimes because they, you know, they're not scared of the coyotes apparently.
Where's the puppies?
They're in the kennel that's over to the goat yard in order to keep the kids in for the first 3 or 4 days.
Oh, okay. Can you put the puppies in there?
Yeah. So they're in the same yard with the goats, but I need to get at least the kids into that cage, and I can't do that unless I can get the parents to go in. So I'm going to go get some more goat pellets.
They had more babies?
Well, there's the four kids they had earlier this year.
Oh, okay.
Which are only slightly older than the puppies.
Right. Oh, yeah, we didn't write down when they were born. We do their astrology, too.
Actually, I kind of did. I took photographs of them the day of. It was
true that.
Day, 4 days in a row.
Yeah.
So the pictures dated, so we can go through those.
They were late February, so they were Pisces babies, too.
Are they?
Yeah, last part of February, first part of March is Pisces.
Okay.
So
the puppies are on a cusp and the goats are on the other cusp.
Well, the puppies are at 20 degrees, so they're not really a cusp. They're more in the middle. The goats might actually be an Aquarius cusp.
Yeah, little tricksters, huh?
But they'll just be a little crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's be a little weird. We'll have weird goats.
Okay.
But they won't be as weird as Gemini's.
Shoot. I'm going to do this instead. I'm going, instead of trying to coax the goat in with the puppies, I'm going to unwrap the trees. Because I checked the weather forecast and they're no longer calling for freeze.
No longer freezing.
Yeah, from here on out, it's just going to get warmer and warmer.
I did not find what I'm looking for.
Oh, what's going on here?
I got a new tablet.
You did?
Yeah, dirt cheap. But I was looking for a 10-inch mini laptop to do my astrology on. They didn't have any. You know, because I got to have something with Microsoft, but I wanted it to be small, so it'll be portable, and I just wanted it for astrology, so I could do my astrology on it.
You wanted something smaller than Micro?
Huh? Oh, Microsoft, yeah. Anyways, so I wanted a miniature laptop, and they didn't have any available at Micro Center, and what I should have done is I should have just held out and said, had my business partner, Jamie, have Bia McCoydle, of course you're a Bia McCoydle too, but anyways, have him keep an eye out for a cheap one for me.
Yes, my brain is the size of a planet.
Right. And, but anyway, so, but they were like, well, we have some Microsoft tablets. So I went over and talked to the tablet girl. Tablet girl. And they didn't have any small ones. They actually had bigger tablets. And I was like, crap. I was like, you got anything smaller? She's like, well, let me check the computer. And so they had some refurbished ones that were really, really cheap. And so I went ahead and bought one. So it'll get me by. But I really probably should have just waited and got the laptop because I like the keyboard, you know, feature. And the screen's so small. Probably should have got the little bigger because I got the 7-inch screen. But who knows? I don't know. It's kind of cool and it was cheap, so... But yeah, now I can do my astrology on the go.
All right.
But I'm looking for a little case for it, so I don't got to worry about it getting hurt.
Oh, man.
I didn't see one at Kmart, so now I got to go to China Mart. Although Kmart's also China Mart, or probably we'll call it Hong Kong Mart.
Korea Mart.
Korea Mart. I'm a storm chaser. How do you do? I got a storm chasing rapping song for you. I'm so excited. It's my favorite time of year. I like to chase hail and windstorms all around the neighborhood.
Around the neighborhood.
Something like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Please.
I'm a door knocker. I'm a door knocker. Knocking every door. I had lunch with Jamie the other day.
What Jamie?
Gemini Jamie.
Oh, man.
Oh, red light, red light, red light. Break, 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 break. God. Yeah, I had lunch with Gemini Jamie. She's going to advertise for me.
The noise you hear is me kicking leaves away from my tree.
Ding-dong-dilly.
It turns out If the leaves are packed in as tight, it was almost like I packed them in wood.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, I got to finish that flower bed garden for planting veggies and whatnot, because I got it almost done. I got the first pallets down and packed full of wood, and then I packed leaves in around the wood. So now I got to frame it out and then put some more leaves in on the top pallets and pack them in real good. And then put some dirt over the top of that.
Oh, my. All right, now I'm scared. I think the leaves may have killed my trees.
Kill them all. What?
Oh, the cats.
Meow. What, four more?
No.
All right, I'm bringing four more.
I told you the story not to tell you about the kittens.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. I just told you about the kittens. Damn, you tricked me.
I forgot about the kittens. Thanks for reminding me. We'll take them all. Nah, we got one per acre. We don't need any more.
I think we'll just let our cats breed themselves.
Right.
And the ones who actually hunt for mice will survive, and the other dipshits, that'll be the end of it.
Or we'll find them homes.
Talking of which, China Mart caught a rodent. I don't know what it was. It wasn't a rat. But it was big enough to be called a rat.
Cool. It wasn't a mole?
No, it was too big to be a mole. It was almost big enough to be a rabbit. So that said, you know, if she's taking things that big, eventually she'll be taking things, you know, she'll be taking rabbits. So.
Boom! Shaka! Wait a minute. We need two per acre.
Two cats per acre?
Yeah.
What makes you think so?
Huh?
What makes you think so?
I'm just kidding. Yeah, one per acre, and then that way we know they'll have kittens, and then they'll duplicate. But as long as we can count 15 or more, we're good. We get under 15, and we need to, then we'll adopt.
All right. Maybe.
Yeah. One per acre. But if we adopt any out...
That means if you acquire the neighbor's land, you're going to go for even more?
30 cats.
I'm thinking my investment in the dogs is going to cost me a fortune.
Huh?
The investment in the dogs is going to cost me a fortune.
Well, the cats don't require as much if they're hunting. They required quite a bit through the winter because they were still kittens. And they weren't really hunting. There wasn't any bugs for them to eat. And they were eating plenty of bugs while it was still warm.
Yeah.
But through the winter, we had to feed them more. We had to supplement them more. But once we have more buildings, more structures, we're going to have more, you know, rodents, and therefore we're going to have more cats.
Right. Okay.
But some of the cats will be feral, and they'll be, you know, like barn cats and whatnot. We won't be able to pet some of them.
But the ones we can pet will get fed better.
Well, yeah. Well, it depends. You know. But, yeah.
my friend Ray Jones, in his horse barn, he had barn cats, and every day I feed them about a gallon of cat food twice a day.
Oh wow!
He called it the kitty buffet, but
kitty buffet.
The 2 gallons of food was not enough to feed all those cats. They ate rats and mice and stuff like that. But that's all they got was that 2 gallons a day.
That's crazy. I wouldn't feed them more than a gallon.
Well, he had hundreds of cats.
Well, hopefully we don't have that many.
Yeah. Anyway, but, you know, feeding that many cats, feeding them that much food was worth it to him because the rodent problem in his barn, if he didn't have cats, cost him far more than feeding the cats.
Sure, yeah, it depends on how big our, you know, situation is and how much we can afford and how much of a problem we have.
Granted, he was losing horses that he was kicking himself in the butt because he didn't sell one of them at a certain time. When he quoted the price to me, it would have bought a couple of typical urban California homes.
And how much was it?
$1.5 million for a single horse.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can live on that.
Yeah. And that was his retirement plan for keeping himself alive because he already had everything paid off. So.
Right.
And I'd clean out stalls for him, and I did it because I wanted the manure.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, we need a lot more land if we're going to have any horse.
Yeah, I'd like to have, you know, either two horses or two mules, two donkeys, not mules. I want things that can reproduce.
Reproduction.
Yep.
I want a woman that cannot reproduce.
Well, that works because, you know, you're... Yeah, I don't know how much you want to say.
I'm a member of the Clip Club.
Okay, yeah, you're a non-productive male. So you need a non-productive female.
There you go.
Whereas I'm just the other way around.
Whatever.
But the trick is I need to find a female who does not subscribe to the Uncle Sam as her father situation.
I know that's right. Me too.
Well, yeah. Yeah, either way you go, I need it to, you know. There was an auction across the street from our farm today.
There was a what?
Auction.
An
the
auction.
Old man we visited, the man who used to own this property before vetting.
He passed.
I believe so.
Hang on.
So.
Do what?
Back into producing ghee.
Do what?
Ghee, producing ghee.
Oh.
But mostly because I bought some potatoes to be baked over at Joe's and didn't know if he had butter or not, so I bought some butter. And it's up with the extra butter.
We have a stick of butter in a peanut butter jar.
No, we don't.
Oh, you used it all?
I used it all because we didn't make ghee out of it. I wanted to make sure that it didn't go bad.
Gotcha.
So I used it up. Geeky.
Butter never goes bad.
Oh, yeah, it does. Ghee, for those who don't know, basically butter, you heat it up until it separates into its three components. All right? The milk solids will float to the top, and any residue of milk buttermilk, any residue of buttermilk will sink to the bottom, and the ghee will form in the middle. All right? That's the butter fat, basically. All right? So you don't cook it. You just heat it up until it turns clear. And
you don't cook it. You smoke it.
Now, you just heat it up until it turns clear. You want to melt your butter, all right? And you want to melt it until it's all clear. You can see through it, just like you would any other oil. And then you let it cool, all right? And it'll solidify again. And then you scrape all the white chunks off the top, and you use them in your very next meal. Because, you know, it's good stuff. It's not bad. You know, it's milk solids, but it's the stuff that will spoil. All right? So you eat right away. And then you poke a hole in the butter until you get down to the bottom.
And you slurp it out with a straw.
Well, you pour it out. You pour all that out. Okay? And then, you heat it up again because you're not going to be able to pour all of it out. You heat it up again, and you pour off all of the ghee into another container that you can, and just watch to make sure you don't pour in that. All right? And
okay.
If you pour a little bit in, it's not really a big deal. It might be kind of funky at the bottom of the ghee when you get to it, but you prefer not to have that. Okay, so if you're careful, you don't pour any of the buttermilk into your new container, all right? And the butter that remains and the milk fat that you pulled off, you use that to cook in the next couple of days, and you're golden. The ghee will last in your cabinet forever.
Forever!
Not that I've ever seen ghee stay in a cabinet forever. You know, it's still butter. It just doesn't need to be refrigerated anymore.
Got it.
Anyway, I had made some ghee, and I put the buttermilk in a pan. I was going to cook with it, but then, you know, here it is 3 days later, so I'm giving it to the cats, and the cats are having fun.
Yay for the return.
Well, hey, how did I know the next... How did I know 4 days in a row people were going to feed me big time? It was like,
yeah. Right.
There we go. So, what else? American Independence Hour. I was listening to last Tuesday's broadcast, April 11th, and... Apparently, IRS is going after the guy who started the radio network, and he's talking about the master file that they send you, okay?
Okay.
He did some research on that. Basically, they have him recorded as a machine gun manufacturer. And that's the basis under which they're taxing him.
Because, say it again.
Well, okay, there's this master file that they produce. If you don't file a tax return, they file one for you.
Oh, okay.
And they do it under the presumption that you're a firearms manufacturer, an explosives manufacturer, or an alcohol manufacturer.
So they can stick it to you.
Or a tobacco grower.
So they can stick it to you.
Right. Okay, so they can file a tax return on your behalf based on those, well, it's basically three things, you know, explosives, tobacco, or alcohol. You know, ATF.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, anything that falls under the ATF purview, the IRS can file a return on your behalf. Okay? Well, it's none of the above.
They can't, but they do anyways.
Well, they can do anything they please. It doesn't necessarily mean it means anything. All right? But according to federal code, those are the things that they can make legitimate tax returns on your behalf without your permission. Okay? And so this guy is digging around, and he finds out that they have him as a machine gun manufacturer.
Does that authorize him to make machine guns?
You know, as far as I'm concerned, everybody on this planet is authorized to make machine guns.
Well, I know, but I mean by the New World Order standards.
Probably not, because he'd have to go get a license for that according to the New World Order, and he certainly doesn't have one of those either. But the IRS is, claiming he does.
Of course.
And so, you know, they're discussing ideas for how to proceed with the case. Because, you know, basically he's taken the IRS to court, but he's done it in tax court because that's the only court that they're willing to show up in. You know, of course.
Right.
You know, why would you show up in anybody else's house? You know, if I wanted to sue you, it'd be best if I brought you to my house to do the suing. Because if I take you to your house to do the suing, then your rules are going to apply, and I ain't going to get anywhere in your house.
Right, that's why they will only go to their house.
Right.
Because they're smart like that.
Yeah, and so basically this guy's kind of dumb because he took him to their court anyway, but, you know. But what choice does he have?
I don't know.
So basically, you know, maybe write up your charges and demand that they show up in your court, and when they fail to show, you give them the default judgment. Say, you know, for failure to appear, you have this default judgment against you and this fine, because that's what they do to you.
Right, the people's court.
Well, your personal court, why not? You know, George Gordon talked about it. If you trespass on George Gordon's land and George Gordon's nephew arrested you and took you to a George Gordon court on George Gordon land where his wife sat in judgment and he acted as the prosecution and his son-in-law acted as the bailiff and the other son-in-law acted as the jailer and you know. His jury was packed with his cousins, nephews, nieces, and et cetera. You know, you're in a world of hurt.
Right.
You know, are you going to get a fair shake? Only if the George Gordon family is fair. And even then, probably not.
Probably not.
You know, they certainly aren't gonna rule in a way that harms them. So,
throw them out the window, the second story window.
All right. So, are you working your new job already?
Am I what?
Are you working your new job already?
Yes. I might actually have a job next week that will get paid, and so then I'll actually make some money.
Cool.
because I'm 100% commissioned now. No safety nets. I'm walking the tightrope.
Yeah, that's scary.
It is. I got less than $500 in the bank, and it's all going towards my repairs for my pickup truck. So if I don't get this job next week, I am screwed. Because I'm, like, desperately, desperately working to get jobs approved so I can make money.
So what you're telling me is that I might have to go pay the mortgage.
No, well, I already have the mortgage covered, so I'm not counting that as actually money in my pocket. So I've got all the bills paid, but what I'm trying to say is if I don't get any jobs, built, or billed by next week, I'm going to be hurting in about 2 weeks.
Right. And you took this job based on your skills at getting jobs at the workplace.
Yeah. Well, I do have a job that, there's a 99% chance they're going to go with me because they trust me and my judgment with the new company, even though they trusted me with my judgment with the old company. Yeah. But they see that I left the old company because I have, character.
Yeah. I don't like how they're treating my customers.
I'm sorry, what?
I don't like how they're treating my customers. So, would you please come with me?
Right. Well, I want them to come with me, but at the same time, I gave them, I presented it to them as, you're free to go wherever you want to go. This is where I'm going. If you want to follow me, awesome. If not, I wish you the best.
Yep.
So one, looks like they're definitely going to follow me. And if they do, that's good. It'll get me by for 2 weeks.
In 2 years, when there's a hailstorm that comes through, please think of me.
Yeah. One job, at least this one's a halfway decent one. One job will basically pay me for 2 weeks in comparison to what the other job was paying me.
Right.
Or the other company was paying me. Because the other company was just giving me a $500 a week draw. But they were only giving me 5% commission. Well, this company doesn't give me any draw. And they're giving me 15% commission.
There you go.
So if I can do what I did there, I'll make 3 times as much.
And you won't have to worry about them saying things. What do you owe them?
Well, the other company isn't either, but,
Well, they were because when you finally got a job, they took any of the profit out of it that you what you'd been paid. They deducted what you'd been paid from what you earned.
Since I costed them one job, I had 3 jobs lined up, but one job, I basically warned them all. But one job was too late. They were already committed. They didn't really, it was too late for them. They already had material in their driveway. So ADHI got paid for that job. And that job, my 5% would have only paid me about $500. But, so they made the other $1,000 that I should have got paid. But they've only paid me overall $1,500. So that job alone basically paid them back for the 3 weeks that I was there.
Yep.
Not counting the fact that they were only going to pay me 5% instead of 15%. I'm counting the 15%. There's another job that is that was supposed to be done this week, but they bailed. Then there's another job that's supposed to be done next week, and that one also would only pay me about $500. So they, you know, they're getting their money. So both jobs would have paid me, at this company, both jobs would have paid me $3,000. At that company, only $1,000. But, so yeah, they're getting their money. Since they only paid me $1,500.
Money, money.
Right. So I'm not worried about ADHI. You know, they got their money. They make their money tenfold, every employee that comes through that door. Or I should say threefold. But, or more than that, because they take 22% off the top, where this company only takes like 10% off the top for overhead.
Right.
And then they only pay 25% of the net after they take the 22% off the top. But basically, I've already done all the numbers. What it boils down to is this job pays 15% of the job, or this company pays 15% of the job, you know, or 15% of the gross. The other one pays 5. So the other place is a good place to get some training, but it's a pain in the ass because you've got to fight for your customers because they don't honor their so-called lifetime workmanship warranty. In fact, two people that I've talked to that worked for them and quit them before I did and were there, you know, Brenda was there for almost 2 years, a year and a half, and Emilio was there for almost 3 years. Neither one of them have ever seen this so-called lifetime workmanship warranty, nor have their customers ever seen or received their so-called lifetime workmanship warranty.
Okay, so they talk about it, but it doesn't actually
exist.
There's no paperwork.
There's no paperwork backing it up. It says that there's a lifetime workmanship warranty on the agreement form in the top left-hand corner.
There you
that's
go.
That's the only place that it says it, and it doesn't have any stipulations as to what the warranty covers. There's no actual warranty paperwork.
Right, so it's up to the customer to write it up.
Yeah, basically, it's a battle of the wits. You know, who's willing to battle out what? And really what it boils down to is all you got to do is get the government involved and they'll honor their warranty. If you don't get the government involved, they blow smoke up your butt.
Right.
You don't even have to worry about taking them to court. You just sick the attorney general or whatever, the state. Yeah, I think it's the attorney general or whatever. You know, yeah. But that's what this one guy did. He basically threatened them, and that was the only way he was able to get them to honor their warranty. And that's the guy, a person that actually works with my mother, so I know his, you know, he's actually a credible witness.
Right.
Where the rest of the people, they're just people on the internet. Beside, you know, the customers that I've read the reviews, they're all just people on the internet. That I've not actually met in person. But then I got two employees, well, three, but I haven't talked to the third one yet. Two ex-employees.
You get a third party to do, you know, if they don't honor the lifetime warranty, you know, you send them a letter. telling them if they don't do the work themselves, then you're going to have to get a third party to do it, and you'll send them the bill. And they better respond to that in some way, shape, or form, because if they don't, guess what? You now have the basis for suing them for the cost, because you said that's exactly what you're going to do.
Right, and then you can do a collection on them.
Yep.
Send them a bill every month and add interest.
Yep.
And you can actually make enough money to replace your roof twice.
Or more times. The only problem with that is you have to keep it down to a level that's a small claims court. Otherwise, you'd have to go into a regular court. Not sure how that would fly in a regular court.
Oh, yeah, that's harder. Then you got to get a lawyer and blah, blah, blah.
No. Last thing you want to do is get a lawyer.
Right, so keep it small claims.
Well, no, I mean, whenever you take the court, you don't want to get a lawyer. There's too many things you can do without a lawyer that you can't do with a lawyer.
True.
You give up rights when you grab yourself a lawyer. So,
yeah, I've got experience with that.
Yeah.
Especially when your lawyer is a prosecuting attorney who's part of the system. Or your lawyer is a judge who's part of the system. Their loyalty is to the system.
Yeah, and it has to be.
Right.
They wouldn't be able to keep their job if they...
Yeah.
...up that way.
That's why my lawyer, even though he's a decent lawyer and he's done a lot of good stuff for me for free, the first time I paid him, you know, I had proof that Clay County was, first, they were taking my money because I was paying them in money orders. They were taking my money, but they weren't crediting it to my account. It just got lost somewhere. Okay.
Right.
Then I was like, I refused to send money orders, but they wouldn't take my personal checks because I had a bounced check once, so they wouldn't accept my check. So I was working for an owner-operator, and I had his wife send in my payments. And then they refused her payments or their payments and said, and with the letter that says, I'm sorry, we do not recognize you as his employer. Then issued a warrant for my arrest.
Yeah.
And tried to throw me in prison. Well, my lawyer, after paying him $1,500, no, $3,000, my bad, after paying him $3,000, he got me 5 years probation and said that was the best he could do. And I was innocent.
Right.
Later, I found out he was a prosecuting attorney, and now it all makes sense.
Yeah. Of course.
Right. But it didn't make sense to me then. But the first lawyer I hired, of course, he was one of those free lawyers. That was a nightmare.
Oh.
He was going to give me probation, and I had to pay probation fees. Like, dude, I can't even afford my child support as it is. How am I going to afford to pay an additional couple hundred dollars a month for 5 years? Screw you. You're fired. I'm going to go hire me a real lawyer.
Right.
Of course, it still cost me $3,000, but that was still cheaper than the $200 a month I was going to pay.
You know what a public defender's job is?
To not defend the public?
A public defender's, his duty, his job in the courtroom is to make sure that none of your rights are violated while you get screwed. So the screwing sticks.
Right. So, yeah.
$200. Not one
yeah.
of your rights is violated, so that when they stick it to you, you have no recourse.
Right.
At least if you
yeah.
do it yourself, you know, you always have recourse because you know, you can go back and say, well, you violated my rights here, and you violated my rights there, and you violated them here, there, and everywhere else. I'm calling for a mistrial. I'm calling for, you know, having amounts of whatever. And I'm suing the judge, and I'm suing the prosecutor.
Yeah, the money that I would have paid, or the money I paid the lawyer, or the money I would have paid in 1 year for my probation fees, I could have paid for 5 lawyers.
Yeah. Well, there's Joe Christman's answer to that. It's like, put it in the sewer and they're going to charge you this much for doing it. And it's like, no, they're not. Oh, yeah, they'll send you the bill and everything. Well, they're not going to get it. Why not? Of course they are. It's like, no, I'm going to pay it to a lawyer instead and sue them. Everything they ask from me, the lawyer will get. He said his neighbor up and moved. Because his neighbor wanted a sewer.
Okay.
Yep. Hey, kitty cat.
Hey, kitty cat. I had a cat today that was, I knocked on this lady's house, the cat came up, and I was petting it. It took a minute for its owner to answer the door, but when she did, the cat wasn't going, it was laying there next to me on its back wanting me to rub its belly. It's funny.
Well, you know when you have a real cat lover, when a cat rolls over on its belly and wants to be rubbed.
Oh, yeah.
Because it takes some training to get cats to accept that.
Yeah, that's definitely a sign of trust and acceptance.
Okay.
It probably smelled Muffy on me. That's my mom's cat. And then I was petting 2 other cats earlier today, or yesterday. So. But anyways, I ended up getting an inspection today, and I got what they call a days and nights for another inspection Wednesday. That one's definitely going to be a paid job, but the part of it, the owner is going to have to pay out of their pocket.
Hmm.
The other part, I don't know if it's actually going to get, if it actually qualifies for an insurance claim or not. But that's basically what we try to do. We try to do insurance work because then the homeowner doesn't have to pay anything out of their pocket.
Right.
Because they've already paid it.
Are you allowed to give the customer a discount out of your commission? I mean, you're not going to want to do that every time, but it might get you a few more jobs as a result.
Well, the cat lady, I'm probably going to be, well, with her, I'm going to eat my commission.
Oh.
Because she's got a $2,000 deductible.
And you feel sorry for her.
Yeah, her roof is only going to cost $3,000. Let's put it that way.
Right.
Because it's a small house, and it's an easy roof. So, yeah.
All right.
Oh, well, I don't know. What's 30? Hang on a second. I forgot what he said the numbers
for her. But basically, I'm going to make cheese links. Somebody ran into the wall. They were trying to play NASCAR. Bam! Like Jeff Gordon in the wall. They're probably doing what I'm doing. 75 divided by 0.15. Yeah, or the roof is only going to be about 3,000, and her deductible is 2,000. So the insurance is only going to pay 1,000. And they're giving her money for her gutters, which is not even going to be 500. So my 15% is going to be about 400. So she'll still have to pay over $1,000 for her deductible.
Right.
And she's got no money. She used to work for the USDA.
Wow. Does your new employer know that you're doing that?
Yes. I actually asked him about it. I said, if I bring to him, because I want her to get a better quality roof than what she would get with ADHI. I told him, I said, if I bring the job over to you and I eat my commission, how much would it be? And so we came up with my commission would only be like $400, maybe $500 tops. And so if I got that job with this company, I would eat my commission for her sake. Because if ADHI gets it, or if anybody else gets it, she's not going to have that $500 going towards her deductible. You know, nobody else will do that for her but me.
Right.
So,
well, it might require your new boss to kick some in.
Well, no. He has to do that on his own accord if he wants to. But, you know, he's aware of what I'm doing.
That's what the term inspire means.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I thought she said something else. It might inspire him to do the same. Yeah, because she's trying to sell her house, but she's probably not going to get hardly anything out of it. Because she owes more on it than what she can probably get out of it. And the reason I say that is because she has as many cats as we do.
Yes.
In a 750-square-foot house.
Well, it probably stinks.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be hard for her to get that house sold. So she's probably going to be in that house for the rest of her life. Yeah. So at least she'll have a decent roof.
Yeah.
She ain't got no money. You know, she don't have hardly any money. So because her Social Security isn't very much at all.
Oh, no, it's going to get worse. It's going to get less and less.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, she's basically, she worked for the government. She's depending on the government for her retirement, and the government is dying.
Yep. So,
yeah, I'm going to eat my commission, and then if I can afford to, I'm going to do as the church is supposed to do and take care of the less fortunate with my tithe. I'll just, each paycheck that I make, you know, I'll help her out the best that I can with her deductible.
Yep.
And if she's with this company, I will feel more secure with the whole thing. If she goes with ADHI, my new supervisor told her, says, just don't pay the deductible.
Yeah.
For about a year, and then after that, forget about it.
There you go.
So, you know, then it'll be no money out of my pocket. I mean, I won't make any money off the job either way, but then I won't.
You're going
in and out.
Is there something wrong with your phone?
Oh, yeah, I'm probably going through a dead spot. But, yeah, she goes with ADHI and she just decides not. You know, ADHI has to eat $2,000. But that's not what I mean.
ADHI. Blank. Then blank. Sheep. Blank.
Yeah. I'm not encouraging that. But that's what my supervisor encourages.
Okay, I sent you an article, and you said we should talk about it. I wasn't able to do the follow-up research they wanted to do.
No.
I wasn't confirmed, apparently they still exist. But this is from December 2013. State of Texas tries to shut down sustainable community.
Oh, right. Well,
yeah.
Real quick, before we go into that.
All right.
What I suggested her to do if she stays with ADHI is just say, look, if the house leaks any at all, just say, well, I'm not going to pay you deductible until you honor your warranty. And then just pay them, you know, in sequences as long as they keep honoring their warranty.
Well, it lasted a year. Here's $100. Lasted another year. Here's another $100.
Say, pay them $100 a year. I'm just making sure you honor your warranty. That I still don't have paperwork for. Yeah. So, Texas tried to shut down a sustainable community.
Yeah, about 4 years ago, I guess.
Okay.
All right. So, this article was written back then, so it's going to be out of sequence, you know, as far as... Anyway, early this year, the state of Texas brought several SWAT teams to the quiet and peaceful garden of Eden Community and threatened its existence. In what appears to be an intimidation tactic, only a single arrest was made based on unrelated outstanding traffic violations, and a handful of citations were given for city code violations. Absolutely no drug-related violations were found, and all inhabitants of the community were unarmed. That was the problem.
Right.
Each of the community members present in the house were initially handcuffed at gunpoint by heavily armed SWAT officers. This included the mother of a 22-month-old and a 2-week-old baby. As part of the raid, many of the crops were destroyed by officers. This included wild and cultivated plants such as blackberries, lamb's quarters, and okra. Officers also proceeded to remove a variety of materials the community had planned to use for sustainable projects like pallets, tires, cardboard, and more. The Garden of Eden community is a sustainable community geared towards living a high-vibing lifestyle outside of the confines of how
the average person would live. The community believes in coming together to produce the basic necessities of life, and they support each other through each step. They grow their own food, live peacefully, and since 2009, they have been providing food, shelter, and sustainable education classes and workshops to the public for free.
Until the terrorists come in and raid them.
And that's it. And then here's a quote. The Garden of Eden is a new paradigm eco-village located in Arlington, Texas. Here we live freely, abundantly, and easily. Our purpose is to share with the world the living reality of a sustainable community so that others may open to embrace living life fully in thrival. They coined a word. The Garden of Eden Community. Okay.
Right. Instead of survival, it's thrival.
Thrival, yeah.
Survival.
Well, yeah, doing more than just surviving. They're thriving. You know, they're
right.
Okay. Landowner Shelley Smith is looking for a peaceful and honorable resolution to the matter. She states the city codes are in violation of our natural and constitutional rights to live freely while causing damage to no one. And since there is no damaged party, there has been no crime committed on our part. Rather, the city of Arlington has trespassed and committed robbery against us, amongst other crimes, and will be held accountable in a court of law in due time. We have been targeted by the system because we are showing people how to live without it. We are growing more than just tomatoes here. We are growing the consciousness that will allow people to live freely and sustainably, and the system does not want that to be known.
Of course not.
In the video, Luke Rubkowski travels to Dallas, Texas to visit Quinn Eaker of the Garden of Eden community. Quinn shares the overall mission of the Garden of Eden community and also speaks about the pressure of the state of Texas has brought upon the community by intimidating, fining, and threatening the existence of their community. All of this after the community began making their existence more public and teaching others how to do what they do.
Right. As long as you stay invisible and don't advertise what you're doing and don't become known and don't become public, they won't really bother you too much. But once you become known and once you go public, then you become a threat and then they come and terrorize you.
Anyway, I haven't done follow-up. I'd like to see what was the conclusion of their court actions, et cetera, and how they're defending themselves, since they clearly exist still because they have a website. So,
yeah.
From a website called collectiveevolution.com, that's with a hyphen between the collective and evolution.
We need to make sure we put it on our website, David, David, and David.
Right. Yeah, we'll put a link to the article. And then I'll put a link to the community as well. And I'll do my best to get a hold of them sometime in the next week and see what I can find out.
Yeah, because they do not touch Missouri, because Texas does not touch Missouri. I won't be putting them in the network section, but we can definitely put them on our website somewhere.
Right. Their web is into the garden of Eden.com.
Into the garden of Eden.com?
Yeah.
Okay, that's easy enough. And do they have that article on their website, or is it somewhere else?
I did not see it, but, you know, they clearly still exist.
Okay.
So, if we don't have any discussion about them beyond that, I've got another thing I got a question about.
I didn't do it.
Yeah. I got this. Well, okay, I got apps that they pay for themselves by advertising, and this strange ad popped up. So I did a screenshot of it. All right?
Okay.
And, you know, I'm not too up on current politics and such, but I'm pretty sure that Trump is now the president.
Of the United Soviet States of America, yes.
Yeah, you know, something like that, okay? So, you know, I don't really care who's president, but, you know, it's just, you know, I kind of have a little bit of an idea of who the current president is, all right? And I was pretty sure it was Trump. So I get this ad while I'm pretty sure that Trump is in office. It says, Obama urges homeowners to pay off their houses at a furious pace if they have not missed a payment in 6 months. All right, and then it goes on to say what the qualifications are. And it's you know, basically if you owe less than $300,000, apparently they'll pay off your house. All right? But who cares what Obama urges? Isn't he out of office? And my friend responded to that question. No, he's still in government.
Right.
So, can you explain that?
Well, you know, look at Hillary and look at Clinton. Oh, they're both Clintons, but you know what I mean. Bill.
Hey, Clinton, man. Look at Clinton.
Yeah, look at Clinton and Clinton, you know. They're always going to be, well, they're probably always going to be part of the de facto government. Just because they're not in one office doesn't mean they're not going to be in another office.
Well, yeah. Actually, one of our friends, when I brought the subject up to him, he said, oh, yeah, Obama is actively running the shadow government in an attempt to overthrow Trump.
Yeah, I doubt that, but I'm pretty sure he's part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I doubt he's running it, but, you know, yeah. It's like, huh. Well, that's not very democratic, is it?
Democratic, what's that?
You know, the democratic way.
Yeah, that doesn't exist anymore.
I didn't in the first place, but, you know.
Yeah.
I mean... Nobody really has the right to get together as a group and say, hey, you're going to live the way we say you're going to live. We all voted and said it.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I have that power.
Yeah, right. Anyway. You know.
I got the power! Power!
Like, you know, young lady walks into a bar and there's 10 men in the bar.
Yeah, you got to change that scenario.
You don't know how the men are going to vote. And you know how she's going to vote.
Yeah. At least change it up and use different ones instead of using the same one all the time.
Well, it's so blatant and so obvious, you know?
It's disturbing. It makes people think that you think like that.
So that's the nature of democracy. All right. A lamb walks into a bar, and there's 10 wolves written in there. How do you think the wolves vote?
Yeah. Anyways. Well, okay. A similar situation and subject. This one guy in Independence Missouri, took his daughter to a one of those adult bookstores that had those chats or those rooms where you can, or those video arcade, or not the arcades, those video rooms that you can go in and watch your own personal porn and jack off and do whatever you want to do in there.
Okay, that's pretty great.
Well, he took his daughter there, and she was underage, and basically pimped her out to all these guys. They basically raped her there at this
right. Did they execute
video room? I don't know what they did. I forgot. But, yeah, it made the headlines, and he got in big doo-doo. But it's basically along the same lines. This girl did not choose to participate in this situation.
Yeah.
It was forced upon her.
It's clearly a democracy, and it violated her rights.
Exactly.
And that's what democracies do. Democracies violate people's rights. You know.
She was outvoted.
Yeah. And overpowered, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think it landed, I'm 90% sure it landed her in the hospital. But I don't remember this whole story. But that's basically what happened.
Mental and physical problems, you know?
True that. Yeah, that was very traumatic.
Well, I tell you what my vote would be if I caught wind of that. I'd probably end up in jail afterwards, but there'd probably be a bunch of men dead.
Red rum. Red rum.
It wouldn't be called murder. It wouldn't be murder. They'd probably call it murder, but it wouldn't be murder.
Well, it's not self-defense. It's probably justification.
I would be defending society.
True that.
And any other little girls that their fathers were thinking of doing the same thing.
Right. Red rum.
Well, I was raised in Wisconsin, where at the time vigilanteism was alive and well, so.
Vigilanteism.
Yeah, if people mess with children in Wisconsin, they generally, they ended up in some very interesting circumstances.
I understand that.
You know. One man was found in the woods, tied to some trees, left to die after his, everything between the legs had been removed.
Ouch.
You know? You know, that's the nature of it. I mean, what was his name? Dahmer? Jeffrey Dahmer?
Yeah.
Milwaukee? I knew people were going to volunteer to go to jail. They were going to commit crimes on purpose just to end up, just for the chance to end up in the same jail cell with him. And, you know, within a couple of months of him ending up in jail, mysteriously, him and some other pervert were found in the same cell dead.
Right.
You know? That's Wisconsin. So.
Welcome to Wisconsin. We got fun and games.
Yeah, don't do good stuff to children or you won't live long there.
That's the way it should be.
Now, the really weird thing about Jeffrey Dahmer
awesome.
is that a cop helped him catch a young black kid.
Okay.
Not knowing that it was a wrong situation. The kid was screaming for his life, and the cop assumed that Jeffrey Dahmer's story was correct, even though Jeffrey Dahmer was white, the kid was black, that, you know, it was basically his adopted son acting up, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
How would you know otherwise?
Yeah, well.
Well, I guess he could have ran a report. Then people like us have been, like, making a big deal about that because we'd be like, what crime did I commit?
Yeah, true enough. True enough, but, you know, hey, the kid made an accusation, and it's like, okay, this needs to be verified.
So. True that. Well, yeah, if the kid said, the crime was blah, 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 then, yes, there deserves to be an investigation.
Yep.
Are these on sale? No, habla?
No.
I said, are these on sale?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm all over that.
All right.
Reese's Peanuts Buttock Cups.
So are you capable of doing the Ron Paul thing, seeing as I ran out of material?
Ron Paul Revolution!
Which, of course, will be from last week. We're catching at the end of the week instead of the beginning of the week, man.
What? Oh, wait. What? Ooh, York. Peppermint.
Yeah.
Paul Revolution. Ready, set, go.
April 10th. Thursday, U.S. missile attack on Syria must represent the quickest foreign policy U-turn in history. Less than a week after the White House gave Assad permission to stay on as president of his own country, President Trump decided that the U.S. had to attack Syria and demand Assad's ouster after a chemical attack earlier in the week. Trump blamed Assad for the attack, stating that something is going to happen in retaliation, and less than 2 days later, he launched a volley of 59 Tomahawk missiles at a cost of $1.5 million each onto a military airfield near where the chemical attack took place. President Trump said it is in the vital national security interest of the United States to attack Syria over the use of poison gas. That's nonsense. Even if what Trump claims about the gas attack is true, and we've seen no evidence that it is, there is nothing about an isolated incident of inhuman cruelty thousands of miles from our border that is in our vital national security interest. Even if Assad gassed his own people last week, it hardly means he will launch a chemical attack on the United States, even if he had the ability, which he does not. From the moment the chemical attack was blamed on Assad, however, I expressed my doubts about the claim. It simply makes no sense for Assad to attack civilians with a chemical weapon just as he is winning his war against ISIS and Al-Qaeda and has been told by the U.S. that it is no longer his regime change. On the verge of victory, he commits a suicidal act to no strategic or tactical military advantage. More likely, the gas attack was a false flag by the rebels or perhaps even by our CIA as a last-ditch effort to forestall a rebel defeat in the six-year war. Would the neocons and the mainstream media lie to us about what happened last week in Syria? Of course they would. They lied us into attacking Iraq. They lied us into attacking Iraq. They lied to seeking regime change in Syria in the first place. We should always assume they are lying. Who benefited from this attack on Syria? ISIS, which after the attack began a ground offensive. Does President Trump really want the U.S. to act as ISIS's air force? The gas attack, which took some 70 lives, was horrible and must be condemned. But we must also remember that U.S. bombs in Syria have killed hundreds of civilians. Just recently, U.S. bombs killed 300 Iraqi civilians in one strike. Does it really make a difference if you are killed by poison gas or by a U.S. missile? What's next for President Trump in Syria? Russia has not backed down from its claim that the poison gas leaked as a result of a conventional Syrian bomb on an ISIS chemical weapons factory. Moscow claims it is determined to defend its ally Syria. Will Trump unilaterally declare a no-fly zone in parts of Syria in an attempt to prevent Russian air traffic? Some suggest this is his next move. It is one that carries a great danger of igniting World War III. Donald Trump's attack on Syria was clearly illegal. However, Congress shows no interest in reining in this out-of-control president. We should fear any U.S. escalation and must demand that our representatives prohibit it. If there ever was a time to flood the Capitol Hill switchboard demanding an end to U.S. military action in Syria, it is now. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Wait for it.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Bam, bam, bam.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Press 1. Yeah. Press 1 to listen to Ron Paul talk about liars.
Yeah.
They lie about everything. They even lie about lying.
We didn't lie.
Right. So we drop a bomb that kills more people than the poison did for people poisoning people.
Right.
That makes sense. Hey, yeah. You poisoned 10 people. We're going to drop a bomb and kill 500.
Well, that makes the poisoning all that much more effective now, doesn't it?
True that.
We only have enough ricin to kill 5 people. I know. We'll get the U.S. to turn around and kill the rest for us.
Yep. Well, there you go. He set up a staged location, and then you get your enemy to do your bidding.
Yep.
And they're probably all sitting back laughing. Actually, it was all planned from the get-go. I mean, the people in power planned the whole thing. And orchestrated the whole thing, and everybody agreed, set a camera on board, said, all right. And then the media said, oh, blah, 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 and shooting us back and forth and keeping us crazy while they're doing something else behind our backs that
yeah.
we don't know about.
Well, yeah. When they put Clinton versus Hillary, I pretty well knew they wanted a war. But not Clinton, I mean Trump versus Hillary. I knew they wanted a war.
Hillary versus Clinton?
Yeah, Trump versus Clinton. I knew they wanted war. It's just I suspected that Hillary would have meant World War and Trump would have meant Civil War. And it turns out that he's going to do the World War. So.
Right.
So,
is all this stuff on discount?
No.
All the Easter stuff?
No, it's not going to happen.
Oh, somebody said it was all on discount.
I don't know. Maybe.
All right. Well, we'll check it. If it's not, then I only want the East. I'll come back and get the rest tomorrow.
Oh,
Well, tick season is in full swing already.
All right, the rest probably aren't either. Nope. Okay. Don't worry about it. It's not on sale either. That's how much? Okay, now I'll just get the other eggs.
220. Those are my favorite. Well, actually, they're all my favorites. But I only got so much because I thought they were on discount.
I'm a
bargain shopper. Shit. Cool, cool. I'll be up here. not really, but yeah, I'll take it. Thank you. You too, thanks. All righty. I got some chocolate covered marshmallows. Dark chocolate. But they weren't on sale, so.
Yeah, that's Monday.
Tomorrow or Monday?
That's Monday, after Ishtar's birthday is over.
Ishtar! All hell, Ishtar!
Yeah, I know.
And eat her rabbit!
Yeah, eat a rabbit. Oh, you said Peter Rabbit.
Off with their heads.
Yeah, there was a while before eating Easter Bunny.
Easter Bunny for Easter dinner.
But that eventually evolved into me learning about comfort kit.
You're breaking up.
I'm breaking up.
Breaking up is easy to do, especially when you're talking in the wind. Ah, la vida loca. I hope this job comes through next week so I can make some money.
Right.
Money, money.
Money, money, money.
Money. Yeah. I'm not sure how great and wonderful this company is, but I know that they're better than the last one.
Right.
And I would say anybody's better than the last one, but I found out somebody who's worse than the last one.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the other one I put an application in for.
Yeah.
Because I've heard people talk about them. You know, people talk a lot about them, but I never heard anything bad. And then lately I've been hearing bad things. Mostly from insurance adjusters, but actually primarily one. And, of course, I'm a little biased because I think she's attractive. And we had a really good conversation for like an hour. But basically, she was saying that this company will go out of their way to find damages worse than American Dream Home Improvement. They will try to claim a tar drip as hail damage. Well, you can obviously tell the difference between a tar drip and hail damage.
Right.
But, yeah, they nickel and dime the insurance companies for every little thing
well,
they can possibly
you.
Get. Yeah. But, I mean, a lot of times...
It's a scam. It should be nickeled and dimed to death.
True. To a degree.
But the problem is too many people subscribe to the scam. So the more they nickel and dime them, the more the scam artists are going to raise the price.
Right, yeah.
So we just got to get rid of the whole operation.
If you invest in a Ponzi scheme, you kind of deserve the Ponzi.
The backlash. Yeah. So if you want to keep your, if you want to subscribe to the insurance problem, insurance scam, then you don't want to encourage your price to go up. Now, if you have a legitimate claim, you have a legitimate claim. But, yeah, don't encourage, unless you just want out of the program altogether. But you got to get other people out of the program, too. That's the problem. Too many people are relying on the deal, and if you don't have insurance, they'll sue you and take everything you own. An individual will.
Yeah.
It's like, so it's like, yeah, the system is designed for you to be dependent on the system, because if you're not dependent on the system, they allow criminals to come and take everything you own.
Yep.
Whether it's criminals inside the government or criminals outside the government.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, how do you find a win-win solution to that?
Yeah, I can't say it on the radio.
Right. Oh, which brings us to our disclaimer.
Yes.
We're not mammals. We're not manimals.
We are men made in the image of God.
Yes. Endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights.
Per the Constitution.
Yes. Per the Bible.
Well, per the Constitution. Made in God's image per the Bible.
There you go.
Granted, some people include the Constitution as part of their Bible. I actually saw a Bible had the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and the Pledge of Allegiance and
Doctrine and Covenants.
No, not the Doctrine and Covenants. The old state, can you see that thing, the song in there.
Right.
A whole bunch of military hymns as well. That was all included in this little Bible.
That's weird. It must have been a military Bible or government Bible.
It was.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, an army issued, yeah, it had all that stuff.
Yeah, that would make sense.
So, yeah, I mean, some people would include that. Yeah, so in that case, the Bible said your inalienable rights is in the Bible.
Right, so the Word of God is in the eye of the beholder.
No, but
it's in the book of the beholder.
Yeah. Well, God's word is God's word. Now, the only question is, are you perceiving God's word or are you perceiving the word of men?
Yeah, well, if it's black and white, it's probably not the word of God.
No, but it may have been inspired by the word of God, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, I got in a wonderful argument over that. It's like, I was pointing out that there's older documents in Scripture that has the list of the, you know, the list of kings, you know, that you find in Genesis, you know, where it talks about, you know, Adam begot Enoch and Enoch begot, well, no, it's not, I got it wrong. Anyway, but there's all these begots, right, from Adam to Noah, right? Well, this list of kings is older, but all the names match up except for Adam and Noah, all right? And, you know, the only thing that was changed was the names aren't the same pronunciation. It's the same meaning of the names were used in Scripture, in the Bible, as in the original list of kings. And then this is the one where Moses apparently couldn't read the Akkadian zero. And so he messed up their ages by a factor of 60.
Oh, right.
And it's like, oh, you're just taking something you found on the internet and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, that doesn't match up with Scripture. And it's like, well, what Scripture are you using? You're using the King James. Well, yes. It's like, well, you know, it's rot with error. Oh, there's only 9 errors in it. It's like, well, what about Romans 13, 1 through 3? There's at least a dozen right there.
Nice.
So, can you name the other 3? And, you know, I got a whole bunch of argument over that. It's like, well, Romans 13, 1 through 3 is not translated wrong. It's just, you know, people take it wrong. Blah, blah, blah.
It's just translated wrong.
They take it wrong because it was translated wrong. Yeah. And anywhere you see the Bible saying that you're supposed to fear God, that is a bad translation of that word. That's a horrible translation of that word. All right? The best one-word definition that that word was supposed to be translated would be respect. But to define it more clearly, I have to give an example. All right? You got a bunch of baby chicks, and they're around their mother hen. And they're out having a merry old time eating grain and picking worms and bugs and stuff like that out of the ground, right? They're kind of scattered all over the place. And a hawk flies overhead. Okay? They fear the hawk. All right? And they run to the mother hen. All right? When they run to the mother hen, that's what the word that was translated as fear means. Does it mean fear? If you fear the hawk, you run away from the hawk. All right? But you respect the mother hen. You seek protection from the mother hen. You seek love and care from the mother hen. You seek guidance from the mother hen. That's what you're supposed to do to God. And that's what that word means.
Sanctuary.
You seek sanctuary, but the word itself doesn't mean sanctuary.
But it means something similar.
It means who you go to seek sanctuary. You know, the closest translation is probably respect. But it means so much more than just respect. God's your go-to guy for everything.
So it's not fear.
No, it's not fear at all. No, you're not supposed to fear God. Why would you fear the one thing in all of reality that loves you most, who would never see you harmed if it could be avoided? You know?
It's not fear, it's fair.
Yeah, okay.
Fair God.
Yeah. Anyway. Someday I'll probably say the proper word in English.
It's not a mistranslation. It's a typo.
Anyway, you're supposed to fear the hawk, not the mother hen.
Right. You're supposed to fear.
Fear God.
You're supposed to fear the mother hen.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. Whatever.
Every time you see that word fear in Scripture, more than likely it's a mistranslation. That's another error.
A typo.
Yeah. Well, if it's a typo, it certainly isn't God-inspired.
It's a God-inspired typo. God inspired me to be illiterate.
If it's God inspired, then your God is Satan. And you're going to hell.
No. If it was God inspired for me to be illiterate, then my God is dog. Oh, wait, no, that would be if it was God inspired for me to be dyslexic. But, you know, I seriously doubt that dog is God because cats act more like gods than dogs do.
No, cats act more like Satan.
Muffy always wants my attention.
Yeah, see, with cats, it's all about the cat.
All about the cats. Oh, yeah. Isn't that what gods are like? All about the gods?
No, that's demons. Demons are that way.
Demon gods.
All right, if you say so. I give up.
I give up.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, I got into an argument over issues like that, and it's like, what good does it do to have those arguments?
They're fun.
Yep. Are you the one texting me, or is that somebody else?
That's somebody calling you.
Interesting.
Well, okay, they could be texting you. I'm hearing the beep, though.
Yeah, that was Joe Mama.
Joe Mama! What?
He wants me to go to town so he can keep me up late and watch movies.
Oh, okay.
And I'm about to call the podcast to an end so that I can go to sleep.
I got to get up not so early tomorrow myself.
Right.
But I'm going to have some Easter chocolate and then go to bed myself.
Yeah, I know he was looking to go out of town here in the near future, but I'm going to ask if it's going to be here Monday. Because I'll be in town Monday.
What town? Stockton?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll be in town
Thursday. Oh. You're going to
be in town
Tuesday.
Yeah, I got to take care of the New World Order criminal element of government bullcrap.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh. Yeah. So then I'll pick up whatever Kim has of mine from her front porch. Hopefully she don't come out.
Yeah.
And then I ain't got to look at her.
Yeah, I wonder what you left behind.
She's probably thinking I left her behind.
So if you find her on the front porch, she probably wants you to pick her up.
I'll run. Run, Forrest, run!
Demented Dungeons and Dragons disclaimer. Asterisk legal notice asterisk. This podcast is for educational and / or entertainment purposes only. Our opinions and religious beliefs are our own. Most of this is all hearsay evidence and is not admissible in court. Our first-hand knowledge is your hearsay evidence and you should always go and do your own homework. We are not necessarily encouraging you to overthrow any tyrannical de facto governments, medical establishments, fast food franchises, any religious or non-religious 501c3s or anything of that matter. We do encourage you not to feed the beast. We do encourage you to love your neighbor, your community, and your homeland. We do encourage you to do what is right, when it is right, because it is right. We do encourage you to protect your de jure government, your sovereignty, your freedoms, and your liberty, and those same freedoms and liberties for your neighbor, your community, your people, and your homeland. The Lord gave you free will. Please use it wisely. Pray it forward. Pray for others as you would like them to pray for you. Pray on others as you would want them to pray on you. Love others as you would want them to love you. Please read 1 Corinthians 13. We practice God's medicine, not man's medicines. Any nutritional statements heard on this podcast is just our research and/slash or experience. Most of them may not be accepted by the FDA. Under the New World Order rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines, we are not allowed to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases. But we cannot cure you, nor can your doctor, only you can heal yourself. Disease is a result of a nutritional deficient environment. Feed your body right, and your body will cure itself. Man and/slash or other animals, we are not man animals. This podcast is not made for animals. This podcast is only for certain humans made in God's image, endowed by God with certain inalienable rights. If you are an animal, this podcast isn't necessarily for you. Please tell your human about us.
Yeah, go get your human.
Yeah, I love your human is Uncle Sam.
Uncle Sam thinks he's your human.
He's got it backwards, huh?
Yeah, not bad. Man, this cat wants my attention.
It's a manimal.
Manimal.
Fluffy the manimal.
Manimal. Actually, she's a womanal. Are you a womanal?
The wool manimal.
Womanal. Yeah. Yeah, I had a discussion again today about race, you know about prejudice, basically. And I told the guy.
Yeah, I'm racist. I don't think humans should mix with horses.
Well, I told the guy, I says, you know, a lot of people make a big deal about color. But the thing with it is we're all the same race. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to crossbreed.
Right. Like I said, man and sheep are not meant to join.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm anti-mixed marriages. Don't put those rabbits and those cats together.
Unless you want the cats to eat the rabbit.
Yeah, well, and I'm anti the GMO factor too.
GMO, GMO, GMO is the way to go. Muffy's like, what the hell are you smoking?
GMO.
Pretty much. Back to the fact that we are GMO, maybe we should be eating GMO.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, that's what I meant by yeah.
Right.
Right. Oh, I was reading labels today. Was it today? Yeah, I had to go to get some gas. And I was
You're reading labels on the gas?
No, I was reading labels on the Peeps strawberry milk and the Peeps orange cream milk.
Oh, God.
And well, actually, it's not bad. Well, it's not too bad. It does have emulsifiers in it, but, you know, it actually, you know, it didn't have any high fructose corn syrup in it. The ingredients list was relatively short. They didn't use red dye number 40. Instead, they used beet juice for the color. All right?
Beet juice.
Okay. And you know I like eggnog, right? So they had a carton of eggnog, same brand, Peeps brand eggnog. All right? So I think, great. The other two are all right. This one's going to be all right. But just in case, I'll read the label. First ingredient. High fructose corn syrup.
Poison!
The other two use sugar, which, you know, you should be using a natural sugar, but, you know, white sugar is better than high fructose corn syrup.
Right.
Yeah, right. They just kind of, it surprises me what they don't put high fructose corn syrup in. And what they do put high fructose corn syrup in. And then you got to keep reading the labels because there's some cookies I've been buying because they didn't have high fructose corn syrup in them. Well, the iced ones had high fructose corn syrup. I assume it was in the icing. Okay? But macaroons and the sugar cookies and the chocolate chip cookies didn't. I checked today. The chocolate chip cookies now have high fructose corn syrup in them.
Of course they do.
Well, they didn't before.
All right, that's how they get you.
Yeah, you get used to buying the product, and it's like, oh, you know, switch it up. Well, at least with Sierra Mist, they had the decency of changing the label. So now it's Mist Twist instead of Sierra Mist. But you know, they started adding high fructose corn syrup to it. I think it's funny. Dollar General can't sell Miss Twist. They used to have a hard time keeping Sierra Mist on the shelf. Apparently, there's a lot of people like me reading labels.
Right.
I even have turned Miss Twist around so you can read the label without touching the bottle. And I've come back a week later and the bottle's still sitting in the same position.
Wicked!
Which means the management at the store hadn't gotten around to fixing it for a week. And it didn't sell.
That's scary.
It sat on their shelf for a week. Untouched.
Muffy's feeling neglected.
Well, we'll turn her loose on the puppies.
She wants me to pay attention to her, and I got stuff I got to do. Looking at insurance summary from the insurance company, Shelter Insurance. Shelter insurance in Raytown is good, but shelter insurance in Independence sucks.
How do you know the difference?
I know this because I've been dealing with them.
So I have to do the management of the operation.
There it goes. Yeah. Magic. Printing 12 pages. Yeah. Oh, I got to email this to my boss. Got to get my boss a business card. Got to find the keys. Yeah, I'm still waiting on a copy of this so-called warranty that doesn't exist. I told my old supervisor that I wanted proof of this warranty, and he was going to give it to me. He said he was going to send it to me. And the other guy, Chris, told him where to go to find it. Apparently, it's not there.
That's along the lines of you tell your employer, I cannot tell customers that they have a warranty that I have reason to believe does not exist.
Right. Yeah, and if you can't prove to me that there's a warranty, you can't show me this so-called warranty, I can't sell your product.
I at least can't sell your warranty.
That too.
I can sell your product, but I can't sell the warranty.
Right.
I can't mention what doesn't exist, or I'd be committing fraud.
To that. Oh, yeah. But they ask their employees to lie to their customers on a daily basis.
Yep.
And, well, first I was doing it because I didn't know I was doing it. Then once I learned that I was lying to my customers, I quit.
Yep. Like, I'm sorry. I'd love to keep selling for you. Well, no, because I'd like to get paid more, but...
Yeah.
But even if you paid me more, I can't do it because you're being dishonest. Or at
yep.
least you appear to be dishonest.
Yep.
Your ethics are in question.
Yep. Oh, where is my boss's business card? I thought I had a handful of them. I got one in the wallet. That'll work. Thought I had a handful of them, though. I grabbed a couple, more than a couple, like a dozen, so that I could, you know, give them to somebody if they needed it. Oh, well.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to call an end to the shindig. So,
Dandy.
I can talk with my eyes shut, but I don't think I can snore and talk at the same time. So.
Got it. I got to go to bed, too. I got to get up tomorrow morning and walk on compost.
Walk on compost.
No, walk on fire. All right. I'll talk to you later. So long. Farewell. Oh, wait. And this concludes the D&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com.
And other delirious stuff.
Yeah.
Bye, all.
So long.
Farewell.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Goodbye.